And we're back here for another episode of Steel and Naz, Season 2, Episode 11 here. Welcome to Steel and Naz, Naz Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're located back in here, right behind Coop's, Quincy Point, at the Mass Music Radio headquarters. Tonight, we're joined in studio with Milton native and former professional baseball player, Houston Astros baby, Matt Duffy. We'll have our reactions from the first 3 weeks in the NFL. We have our final thoughts on the Boston Celtics season after they fell in 6 games to the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. Finishing up, we'll have Steel Salute, my bonehead of the week. And once again, don't forget to tune in to our Steel and Naz NFL Countdown Live. This week will be week 4 every Sunday at 11 a.m. on our Facebook and Twitter channels. Here we go. I mean, the interview was pre-recorded, so Matt Duffy from Milton had a lot of great stories. I mean, he built his way up from the University of Vermont, going to Tennessee, playing the Cape League, going all the way in minor leagues, majors, playing in Japan. I mean, unbelievable interview. I was blown away. This kid's an absolute beauty.
Absolutely. God bless him. God bless him.
He literally was like Manny Ramirez, just a lot shorter. Just a lot shorter career. Like, it was phenomenal.
You're going to want to listen to this interview.
Yeah, absolutely. Anton's a big prospect guy, so, like, he just knew. You knew all his friends.
Yeah. I mean, that was fucking cool.
I think Anton had a wet dream during
I might go home and jerk off. Who knows?
I could tell.
Here we go.
That was like me sitting next to Rachel Starr.
Here we go. Milton native Matt Duffy. We now have on the show former professional baseball player Milton native. Skipping the pond from the West Quincy BK. Matt Duffy, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, good, good. Glad to be here.
So what's been going on with you, man? I know you had quite the stellar career, but how's everything going in general?
It's good. It's good. Baseball ended, and I took a year off and then started, stayed in baseball and started a academy down in Weymouth for the young kids, and it's been going great. So the last year has been awesome. So I'm staying in the game, playing a little softball, too.
Oh, yeah. Got a little rhythm.
We've seen that ball's still going from what I've heard up at the
Jackson. I've seen you play twice. You've got 4 home runs that I've seen.
Oh, that's ridiculous. The ringer.
That's pretty good.
You never know who's watching, right? Yeah.
I'll be making an offer at the end of the show.
He's got a contract in the back.
What age groups are, like, the kids that come to your academy?
So we do, we start them as young as 9, and we go up to 17. So with the young guys, we just try to, teach them the fundamentals, get them going. And the older guys, we try to do the best we can to navigate them towards college ball. If they're lucky enough and talented enough, we try to do the best we can to guide them in the right direction to play at the next level. So it's been great so far. Ton of kids from Milton, South Shore. So we're growing, and it's been fantastic.
Let me spin it back to the beginning. So obviously we had Sam Jacobsack on the show a couple weeks back. Different age group, but Milton kid. I mean, he had a bunch of stories about Cunningham Park. But what kind of in the town of Milton really made you mesh to become, like, getting on the big stages and prepare you for the big levels?
Yeah. So I was lucky to grow up in Milton and be around a group of talented ball players. And I feel like I was lucky in that sense, where I got to practice with those guys and really get pushed day in and day out by the guys that were older than me and better. So I was never the best guy. I was actually one of the worst guys. So looking up to those guys and having something to chase and kids to look up to really pushed me. And over time, I stayed with it and obviously got to the place that I was. But, there was a ton of talent growing up. There were guys like Alex Hassan, like we talked about.
Former Red Sox system,
He wouldn't know. But, I really looked up to how he went about, what he did. And just having those guys in front of you that you could look up to and chase really motivated me to try to get on their level. And, it was great. I was really lucky.
So at what point, like, I know you went to St. Sebs and everything going through. At what point did you know, like, I have the pop, I kind of have what it takes to, get a Division I scholarship?
Yeah, I think it was my senior year. I was a late bloomer. We had a game our senior year, and we were facing Jack McGeary, who was drafted real early, was committed to Stanford, and I actually pitched against him. And there were a ton of scouts there, and I had a really good game. And that was kind of the moment for me where I said, geez, if I can compete with this guy and he's definitely going to go to the next level, then, you know, there's a shot. And obviously I was committed to University of Vermont at that point and small D1 school. And, you know, but that gave me a little bit of hope that, you know, I can do this if I stick with it. So that would probably be the moment, or the game, if you will, that I kind of thought that, you know, I could play baseball longer than I originally thought.
Yeah. I know you had a lot of big pop with a bat. I'm just like interested to know, like, what was probably the toughest porch, like around these neck of the woods that you were like, man, Adam's that's going to take, that's what I was kind of laying you up for. Yeah, I just didn't know if, what was going to take.
Oh, Adam's Field. And I left that yard many times.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
I'm just kidding. But it was, that was another moment to not to backtrack, but I hit one out of Adam's Field on our, my senior year in Legion. And the bats were completely juiced. So nowadays it would have been a different story. But
I know it's crazy now. There's the different bats.
Oh, it's
use.
Nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Obviously coaching now, I feel so bad for the kids that have to use those bats. They're basically like wood. So, but I did hit a few out of Adams. That's a poke to center. Where else? Brockton Rock Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Campanelli.
That's a big one.
Campanelli's a big one.
That was my last high school baseball game.
Yeah.
That place is so quiet.
But it was just fun playing at those yards. You know, when Adams locally was a great park, for whatever reason, you felt like there was something extra because they'd turn the lights on, you get to play a night game. So that was always fun playing the Quincy teams, and they were always really good.
Yeah, I remember.
And they're tough teams.
I remember seeing the longest ball I ever hit. The kid Tom Connolly played catcher for BC High.
Yeah, I know Tom.
Really good player. And great player. I think it was like close to the lights, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sitting there like 13 years old. I'm like, I need to hit the weight room.
He was he was a hell of a player. We had battles with – it was Milton versus Morissette.
Nah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we'd battle it out pretty good. But Adams was a great park. It still is. It's just something about it, like – there's not many fields around where they have the dugouts cut. And
You feel like you're a pro going in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was even cool to be on the bench of the team.
You step through the gate and you're like, oh, man.
Right.
They only let me pitch in high school, and even at that, I was a bench guy most of the time. But
walking out to the mound under the lights,
in that dugout.
I got to play in the 2008 like Babe Ruth World Series. And, like, they mesh that field so well that, like, if you made an error, like, the error's on you. There's no bumps or anything like that.
Yeah. No, it's a great surface. Mm-hmm. And it's being from the Northeast, sometimes you don't get the same fields that you do down south.
Oh, yeah.
When I went down there to school, you kind of – you forget how, you know, those schools down there are really taking care of the surface. But Adams is great. It'll always be like that. And it's great for the kids. They get to get in the dugout and feel what it's like to, you know, play on a nice big stage. So it's fun.
What position were you? Did you pitch in the mate when you went from the
mate? No, so I played shortstop my whole life growing up. Okay. I was definitely oversized, didn't have much range, but could always, you know, make the routine play. And then when I actually played shortstop at Vermont, and then I went down the Cape. And I had a conversation with my coach down there, and he was talking to some scouts and said, you know, you're going to get drafted as a third baseman. So I kind of knew that as well. So I played third down there that summer. I didn't hit my weight, but I played an unbelievable third. So I got comfortable with the position, went to Tennessee, and they slotted me in right at third. So I still tell myself I'm a shortstop, but
Derek Jeter in your head. Yeah. It's like
DJ in my head, but I was a third baseman, first step quickness, but no breakaway speed here. But short growing up, but definitely corner guy at the next level.
How was like Tennessee? I was just looking over your roster, and it's, you know, Drew Steckenrider closes for the Marlins, or before he got hurt, you know, he seems to throw absolute gas, and you know, Red Sox great, Godley there.
Mm-hmm. Godley, jeez.
You know, who's the best player you played with over at Tennessee?
Oh, man. It's funny you bring those guys up. So Steck was one of the weirdest dudes I've ever met.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A close second is Godley.
Really?
And then a close third is Andrew Tolles. And Andrew,
I was going to ask about him, too.
Yeah, Tolles, he's had a tough time.
Is he still stuck in the Dodgers?
He's actually – he came down with some mental health issues. He was probably the most talented guy I played with.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they just – I think they – you know, he's fallen on some tough times. He was probably the most talented guy on the team, and he was a freshman when I was a senior. And, you know, I was just stunned by what he could do on the baseball field. Yeah. And obviously, it showed. He made the playoff roster with the Dodgers years ago, and was on his way to a, you know, a long career in the big leagues, and then, you know, fell on some hard times. But so you have Tolzien was awesome. Steckenrider could throw the hell out of the ball. He actually came in as a switch hitting outfielder.
It's crazy how people just switch positions.
Yeah, Steck was a weird dude.
Had to be a hell of an athlete then.
A freak athlete. Yeah. You know, I say weird dude, great kid. But again, I was the senior, so I took all these guys under my wing. I don't know if that was good or bad, but Steck was a freak. Godley was he lived actually right below me. We shared same apartment complex, so he was downstairs, and I give that kid a lot of credit. He actually, I remember him, I was on the bus in the minor leagues, probably double A, going wherever, probably spring, Missouri, who knows where we were going. But he called me and asked me what the process would be like, getting drafted, agent, the whole thing. And I remember giving him some advice and, you know, kind of saying to myself, I don't know if this kid has what it takes. I don't know if his stuff's that good. And, you know, sure as hell, he's, you know,
carved out a nice big league
career. So that kid's a grinder, and obviously happy for him. Tennessee was loaded, man. The league more so than our team. It's just SEC baseball.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Pretty special.
And getting into Tennessee, so you play your first 2 years in Vermont, and then they just fold the program.
Yeah.
So what was that feeling like, being like, where do I go now?
Yeah, so it was I was lucky that I had done well enough my first 2 years where I knew I would get an offer. I didn't know it was going to be down south, or actually broke my hand 4 weeks before my sophomore season. So they let us know probably December, right before the season. They they called us all in. Yeah. Yeah, and they said, you guys aren't going to be around next year. So
hit the hell out of the ball.
What do you mean?
Yeah, it was brutal. So was having a ball up there off the field. and I was like, damn, I don't want to go anywhere. This place is awesome. And I remember going on my recruiting trip up there. I was like, I remember telling my dad, I said, I've never even been to the state of Vermont. And he said, let's go. You might like it. Fell in love with the place. I still think Burlington's a hidden gem of a city. It's great. Mm-hmm. But I had a blast for 2 years up there. And when they broke that news, it was tough for a lot of the kids. I was lucky enough. And I've answered a lot of questions over the years about, you know, kind of that transition. And a lot of guys got screwed over. But there was a handful of us that landed on our feet and had other Division I opportunities. Oh, yeah. So, again, a blessing in disguise for me. I got to go to a school like Tennessee to get the exposure that you need.
Yeah.
So it was great. But yeah, they kind of shocked us with the decision, and we played out that season. It was kind of like we were junior college players. JUCO, you go to school for 2 years, and then and then you jump. So was lucky enough to have a good year. Yeah.
Especially in your circumstance, where a lot of JUCO guys are playing 2 years, and then maybe they're trying to get drafted. Well, I mean, when you go to Tennessee, you're 2 years and then probably trying to get drafted.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you're just, everyone wants to get drafted, right? That's the goal. And Tennessee was gave me the best opportunity to try to, again, get to that next level. So I was fortunate. I played with a lot of guys that were very good that didn't get to jump to another Division I school. But, it was definitely a blessing in disguise. And you know, in hindsight, I'm glad it, you know, it shook out the way it did, but a lot of guys got left behind.
Yeah, that's horrible. And speaking of exposure, though, so you get, I know this year we saw Sam Jacobsack say he wasn't allowed, they kind of canceled the Cape Cod League and everything, so he was pretty bummed out about that. You got the opportunity to play in it, so how was that? Were there any big names you played with, and, like, how did you enjoy that whole opportunity?
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, growing up in Milton, you kind of have an idea of what the Cape League is, right? Yeah. It's everyone's seen Summer Catch, right?
Oh, yeah.
Who's our age. So there's Jessica Biel wasn't around, but I played for the Chatham A's, and it was a fun summer, man. I got to room with some great kids, a couple kids that went to UNC, kid from Long Beach State. And it's funny, when you play in that league, you see the same faces throughout minor league ball. So I had a blast. It's a tough league. I wish I had shown better, but it was a great it was a great experience to see what the competition would be like in the SEC or at the next level. Because coming from Vermont, you're playing just the best guys in New England, mm-hmm. In those small D1 schools. And obviously I was, you know, facing guys from LSU, Texas, Stanford, from all over the country, the top D1 schools. So.
And it was prior before you went to Tennessee, right?
It was. It was summer before Tennessee. So,
so it was kind of getting you prepared anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was great to get your feet wet with that type of pitching and actually to see, you know, meet a lot of the guys, and then you end up playing against them in conference play that year. So it was good. I took my licks. It was definitely a bumpy summer. Had a blast. You know, it's great being on the Cape as a 19-year-old kid in the summer. Don't get me wrong. I had a ball. But on the field, there were definitely some struggles, and, you know, I was definitely better off for it.
And what year was that? Not to make you feel old or anything.
No,
but.
No, it's so good. It was it had to be 2010, summer of, oh, okay. Summer 09 or 10.
I just remember 09,
yeah,
because you were on 09,
09, yeah. So
in,
it was summer
in 2008, I did like a kids camp for like the Chatham A's.
Yep.
And it was Matt Harvey, yep, and Logan Verrett. They, yep, were like,
I was on that team.
Oh, really?
I wasn't there. I overslept.
The Dark Knight?
Oh, it was.
So I burned your question completely. I got carried away. So let me backtrack. So Verrett was on the team.
Yep.
Harv was on the team. We had this kid, Sean Tolleson, who had an unbelievable short run in the bigs.
He played Texas, the
closer. Correct. Yeah. Tolleson was on the team. You know, I'm not going to put myself in that category, but when you think about the guys that made it to the big leagues, those guys had an actual run. I was just there. I got a sniff. But Harv was the biggest name on the team, and he was I wonder if this will get to him. He was kind of on his own program. I remember the whole team would be there every day, and he would be like fishing.
He was throwing 98.
He was
at 98, that time.
100.
That
level, yeah. He was on the Roger Clemens program.
Yeah.
So.
Oh shit!
Great kid. No. He was showing up and strictly home games, just throwing gas.
Just whenever, he felt.
He was a special talent. I don't even.
He really was.
So here's a funny story. So I ended up going to Foxwoods with him. Like 4 years later,
no
I'm in the
way.
Minors. Yeah. So I'm in the minors, and we have a mutual friend, and. So it's funny, we get to the hotel, we check in, it's like, oh, Harv's going, that's great, whatever. So we get there, and I'm like, Harv, what's up, man? He has no idea who I am. He pulled the Ricky Henderson on me. Wow. We played a full season down the Cape together, and he had no clue. So, I don't know, he's a rich man.
I don't feel bad that he just dropped dead, pretty much.
Yeah.
He's fighting for a job. And
it was a great night, but Harv... I don't think he, I know he didn't know who I was. And I told him, I was like, yeah, we played a summer together. He's like, oh, yeah. He did that. You know,
oh, yeah, it's funny. How you doing? Yeah.
Right. You look so different.
Right. So, you know, I
hope
you
lost a ton of money on fucking lead or something.
Yeah. It was a good night, but yeah, it was an awkward introduction. Yeah.
What I was going to bring up was my slump story of how I was like 13 years old or something in the camp. And I could clearly tell he was hungover every day, and he just had like the high socks on with like obviously like the Carolina blue turfs, and he just had like skull all around when it was like the nice can or whatever, yeah. And it was like,
yeah, he. I'm surprised he showed up. It was tough. You know, you're 19 years old down the Cape, and everyone's on a revolving schedule for camp, so that's how you make a buck in the summer and. Yeah, those were tough to get to, but you know, I kind of crank on him, but obviously the kid's a phenomenal talent, and he, you know, every game he pitched, you know, it was easy for us on defense, but he was definitely on his own program, and he had big things in store for him, and the rest of us were just trying to get through a summer hitting our weight.
Well, I have a kind of a question where the minor leagues, you know, you're coming up in this Astros organization that's, you know, the team that it is now, this stacked minor league system. I mean, kind of, who was the best player out of the, you know, the Springers of the Correas, the Altuves?
Yeah.
You know, even now they're still stacked. Kyle Tucker's coming up. Sure. Who's the best player you've ever played with, I guess?
Yeah,
I guess
you can go down the list. I mean, Springer.
He's an athlete.
Yeah, so Spring. I played against Spring in the Cape. In a new spring.
Oh, yeah, he was a UConn guy,
too. Yeah, he was a UConn guy. So played against him in college. He's just always – he's been the same guy Since I since I played against him when he was 15, he's just, you knew he was going, going to be special. He was just too good of an athlete not to figure it out at whatever level he got to. The guy I was probably most impressed with was Bregman. Being a third baseman and, you know.
He seems to be down to earth.
Great guy. I know he's funny on Twitter and he can look like he's kind of cocky, maybe.
He'll flip the bat on you.
But he is literally, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he'll be the first guy to come up to you after the game and be like, you see what I did? That's going to get a lot of likes. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of the most down-to-earth guys I've ever met. And, again, I didn't take him under my wing. He didn't need my help. But when we were in AAA at the same time, he was always a guy. We'd go shoot pool together at night or whatever. And he was really good guy. That I got to know and really respect, and one of the most confident ball player I've ever been around, where he would talk to you in the dugout and tell you what he was going to do before his at bat. I'm going to get this guy's slider right here, third pitch. I'm going to go deep, and he'd do it, and you were like, God, this kid's going to be special. And then you can follow that up with Correa, who I played with. Carlos is a freak. Jose Altuve.
I kind of hate Correa. I hate to say it, but like he's been a, such a bitch this season. Can I say that?
No, you. I mean,
he said he just beat the Twins, who have not won a playoff game in 18 fucking games.
Right. They're hurting.
It's like, and he said we just silenced all the haters. It's like no. Yeah.
I don't know if this podcast will make it to Carlos, and I doubt it. If he knows who I am, but Carlos was. He was kind of caught up in his own thing. And he was, again, when you're the number one draft pick, there's a lot of attention and people are coming at you from all different types of angles and stuff. And he was always a good teammate, but he wasn't a bad teammate, put it that way. There were guys like Altuve who went out of their way to make you feel like you have been part of the team for 10 years. I remember getting called up, and Jose Altuve,
was great.
My locker's next to him, and you would have thought I was a 10-year vet the way he treated me. So,
he seems like a good guy.
He always seemed very nice. Yeah. He always seemed very nice.
How about the, you know, are we going to get into the whole buzzer trash can?
Oh, yeah. That was one of my questions.
Well, I was going to, my only question is, did you know?
I didn't know where this was going to go. Oh, man, I don't know who's going to listen to this, but so I didn't. When I was there, I can, on my right hand, there was none of that. And then the year that I left, I was in Japan. So in 2017, I played in Japan, and I had my best friend in baseball is Max Stassi, he's backup catcher for the Angels. Yeah. So they came to town, and they were Stros versus the Sox. Playoff game, and I had landed the day before from Japan. So my boys, all the guys, got me tickets, and we were going to grab a bite to eat after the game. And they had faced Chris Sale that day, and I was out with a couple of the bullpen guys and Stass, and I said, just a guy that's been around baseball and I can kind of understand the game and what's going on, I said, you have to tell me, guys, there's no way
you guys take
the pitches you're taking and hit the pitches you're hitting off Chris Sale. I go... And I just thought he was tipping his pitches. I was just like, give me something.
Yeah.
So we kind of poo-pooed it, right? Average shook his head. No one was kind of talking. I could tell by their body language. I'm like, all right, get back to me. A couple weeks later, whatever, they win the whole thing. I'm like, I stayed on him hard. I'm like, what was going on? And he's like, and again, I don't know where this is going. But I'm like, it's public knowledge now. The trash can. And I got the trash can story, and it was obviously, it's no secret anymore. You can hear it coming from the dugout.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish it was implemented when I was there.
You might be so funny. You might have got the Marwin Gonzalez contract there.
but it's funny because I can see the entire layout of the dugout and the tunnel and stuff. And to be honest, everyone's looking for an edge. And it I guarantee you it happens all over baseball. Yeah. It's like the Astros aren't different than anyone. But no doubt it's greasy and it's a tough look for baseball. But it was just funny for some, like you're not supposed to look that comfortable against Chris Sale.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. And when people look that comfortable when Chris Sale's healthy, something's wrong.
Yeah,
it's too hard. I've been in the batter's box against an Andrew Miller or someone. Like, it just, it's
so not Andrew Miller.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be that comfortable. So,
A couple of you guys got to go down. You know what I mean?
No doubt, a few bad hacks. Yeah, yeah. So.
What was that last playoff series? That first inning, then they just ripped him apart. It was just like, this is just an absolute joke. This guy's stuff is just ridiculous.
Right.
And they just cleaned his car.
It's too hard. So that's the problem, though, right?
I mean, that, like you said, there is a lot of cheating.
They just cheated better.
Yeah.
When they won.
They did win, but I mean. Like pitching. You said, there might have been other teams.
Well, I love how Strasburg knew he was tipping his pitches and was like he had to adjust, and that just was lights out.
Well, there was like something about Kershaw's like his like curveball swing percentage against every other team.
Yeah, they didn't miss. So
and they didn't miss once or
that's
something.
That's a Hall of Fame.
Hitting's too hard to. For me, as someone watching, it's how guys take pitches. You know what I mean? It's like you. Mm. In certain counts that are swing counts and that you're looking fastball and like you're an aggressive mentality, the fact that you're just spitting on balls that are breaking through the zone, back foot sliders, and that I knew at that point that, you know, whatever they were doing, they had something. And again, that's throughout the league, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be a guessing game, yeah.
Right. So it's just like, yeah, you just – Yeah, it's too tough. It's too tough to lay off some of those pitches. So I knew something was up. But God bless them. And they got their ring. And, you know, to be honest, if you're in the moment and you're part of the team, and I don't care what dugout you're in, everyone's caught up in the moment, you're going to look for an edge. I mean, from high school baseball all the way through, if a guy's tipping his pitches or this or that, I'm not saying cheat. When the electronics come into it, it gets a little carried away. But, you know, it's tough. Because when you're in the moment, you're going to do anything for an edge.
Oh, yeah.
I once saw a Little League coach tell this kid to strike out on purpose so the other team didn't play someone, or, like, didn't get in that bat, so they had to forfeit the game. The coach was, like, going crazy and stuff, and a parent went over there. Like, big bad guy, one of my buddy's fathers, he's like, you must feel fucking special, huh? Yeah. The guy just shut up and went right to his car.
So now, are you like an Astros guy? Are you rooting for them? Like, what's your team that you root for these days?
To be honest, I don't even watch a ton of baseball. I follow my buddies. I peek on it. You know, I pull for the guys that I know, and I look at their stat line, hope they're doing well. But this is a tough year, obviously. As a whole, I don't really follow it. Much more for no particular reason, probably just because I'm busy and you know, working with the young kids now. But I love the game. I still, you know, if the Sox are playing someone, I probably pull for the Sox. I like you know, when they're going hot. It's just you know, being from around here, it makes for a good atmosphere. And I'll still go to Fenway. I'll buy a standing room only ticket with a buddy and go watch a game and stuff. And I love the game still, but I no particular team. Just look out for the guys that I know and hope they do well.
I'll relive some moments here. So you get drafted by Houston. You play in the minor leagues a couple of years, have a great, I forget what year it was in particular, but you were like the AAA player of the year, something like that. You get the call up to the Astros. And then, I watched the video against Pomeranz. Like, what was that feeling like there? I mean, you see Altuve on deck, you get an opportunity there.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. So I always tell people too, it's never good to be the AAA MVP because that means you're in the league the whole year. So it's like it's funny. My buddy's like, dude, like you got totally screwed. You were the MVP. I'm like, because I had so many at bats. You know what I mean? I hit 30 homers or whatever, 20, whatever I did. But it's like, yeah, you don't want to be there that long. So we were obviously stacked, and it was a great year. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, getting called up is a dream come true. And I had worked hard, and I was excited for the opportunity, nervous, anxious, excited, the whole thing. And when you get up there, I had been in big league spring training for a couple of years. So, you know, had known a lot of the guys and a lot of the younger guys had come through AAA, and I was, you know, close with them to a degree. So transitioning into the clubhouse was pretty easy. But, hey, you just know your role. You know, I knew I was going to be a bat off the bench and a guy that could play defense late in the game and be kind of a matchup guy for, mm-hmm. for AJ Hinch. So it was great. And getting the first hit was awesome. I mean, something you'll never forget. You know, obviously mm-hmm. your family's there and stuff. You get to, you know, give dad the ball and stuff. And it kind of makes the grind worth it in the end. And it's a tough road. You know, something I'm very proud of, obviously, getting there. Battling the odds as a lower round draft pick and stuff. So,
you wish the ball went out though?
Oh, yeah.
The announcer burned me.
He
totally gassed me. I know. What was that all about? I'm like, throw me a bone, dude. Like,
fucking smoked it.
Right.
In Minimade.
Like, legend grows. So, too. Yeah, sorry, my buddies
now will be like, playoff game. I'm like, it was a late September, whatever the game was. It wasn't even an important game.
I think what he said it was.
In 10 years from now, it'll be a game winner.
Yeah, bottom nine.
Right. You're right. Exactly. So
10 years from now, you'll be telling people you hit the homer.
Oh, I already tell them I do. What are you talking about? It was great. And what's funny, too, I tell a lot of people, that's an out in AAA. The balls in the big leagues are so juiced, and the balls fly so far in the big league parks. That's an out at Adams. It really is. And I don't think people understand how the ball flies at that level and how tight the parks are. On TV, it does not do it justice. I completely missed that ball. Oh, really? God, yeah.
Yeah, you could tell you weren't, like, as confident.
No, I missed it 100%. I've hit balls way better than that. And again, I'm not.
Ridiculous. No.
But it's how it is. I'm actually knocking myself. Like, if you pull a ball with any authority in the air in the big league level, it's going to be a home run. And that's how they want the game to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's how we want it to be watching it.
So I completely clipped it. And I over backspun it. And I was lucky enough it carried. You know, I'll have that the rest of my life.
Pomeranz left one up once again. Yeah.
Pomeranz. And I faced him in college, too.
Oh, yeah.
So I was in the batting cage, not to drag on.
Nah.
And so the reserves, like myself, you know, after the fifth inning or whatever, they're like, go get loose. So I remember I was in the batting cage deep under the tunnel, and the phone rings in the batting cage, and I sprinted down. And I got ready. I had one swing on deck. And I remember walking up and seeing that it was Pomeranz. And I remember facing him at Ole Miss when I was at Tennessee. So I just, like, created this, you know, kind of mindset. Like, I've seen this guy. You can do this. Like, you know what he's got. And had a tough at bat. And, you know, I was looking inside and he missed in. So, like I said, I missed it. But
yeah.
Got lucky.
Not a bad miss.
No. Not one bit.
Well, Pomeranz, I mean, coming up too, was at Ole Miss facing him. He was a top 10 draft pick. Got drafted by the Indians.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that like? Just, you know, facing, you must have faced, you know, the, who was David Price around at Vanderbilt then? Or
yeah, I mean, the playing in the SEC every Friday, it must have been Saturday. Nuts. Yeah, you just again, you're in college. Imagine being a college kid too, like. I was no different than you guys in college. We're all doing the same thing. It's not beating around the bush. Like, it was, we had a lot of fun.
Chicks.
So, yeah. It was crazy, right? So you're like, you know, it's a long Thursday night. You got a Friday night game against Vanderbilt. Sonny Gray's on the mound. It's a battle in itself. And then, you know, it's, you got to lock it in pretty quick. So we saw arm after arm after arm. But, yeah, we faced Pomeranz down at Ole Miss. He's an unbelievable pitcher, obviously. I know we give him a hard time, and myself included, right? Like, when he pitched for the Sox, he didn't have the greatest run.
No,
but you have arms coming out of that league, you know, every year that are going to have long big league careers. So,
something just hit me. So, was Johnny Maggs at Florida when Mag. You no, get to face him?
Or? I was older than Mags.
Oh, you were?
I know Mags pretty well.
Okay.
He sounds familiar.
He threw the hell out of the ball. I never faced Mags, and he's got to be 4, 5, 6 years younger than me. And I wish I did, but he played with a lot of buddies of mine that went to Florida and then came up through the Astros system. So they would always bust my balls, you know, being a Milton guy, that always compare me to him. And,
I just remember because he's like maybe a couple inches taller than me, but he throws the lights out of the ball.
Out of it. You know? And that's no, he's a great pitcher. He had a great little you know, he had a great career. If he was 6'3", he'd still be playing, I think. And that's not a knock.
Yeah, he was saying, you know, with the Mets, right?
Yeah, it's tough to be a pitcher when you're short. You got to throw 100, and you know, he's a hell of a ball player. I know he's down in Georgia right now. He coaches a travel team and like a really, really good one. So he's doing great.
But what's that? Is a specific place called?
I forget
called?
The name of the team. He's down in Georgia, okay. East Cobb area. I think it might be the Georgia Bombers.
Okay, I was thinking East Cobb because that was like the place to go to when you're in AAU when you're younger. Yeah.
So he's doing well, and he's passing along his knowledge, and wish him nothing but the best.
Speaking of traveling, playing baseball, like going to, so after your major league stint, you went to Japan, right? Yep. So what was that like? I mean, obviously, you talk about playing in college, being a college kid, and then it's a complete kind of change of pace, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It was.
I can't wait to ask what his favorite out of everything was.
I mean, as I sit here, I'm staring off into the just thinking about everything that happened over there. It was such a cool experience, and I would do it again, but it was. It was wild. I had no idea what I was getting into.
What happens in Japan stays in Japan.
The neon lights, God knows what happens on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's tripping.
No. It was great, but it was wild. I mean, I had a first class the whole way. And, you know, at that point in my career, I was in between the big leagues and AAA, and if I came back, I had been designated for assignment, traded to the Rangers, picked up by the Rangers, and then I had an unbelievable September with them in AAA, and next thing you know, Japan's calling, and Texas is going to, they're going to make $250,000 if they, you know, give my rights up to Japan, and my agent, the whole thing, and it was a great... It was time to grab a few bucks from baseball. So it was, you know, going back, family, agent, the whole thing. It was the right move. And obviously, I wish I played longer over there, but it was quite the experience. It, like I said, first class the whole way, but it is not, it is extremely different. I mean, the guys over there that you play with, they look at you like you have four heads. You can't communicate with them whatsoever.
At all?
Body language isn't even a thing. Sarcasm isn't a thing. Even if you're, you know, if you're trying to talk to them through your translator, good luck. So you're just out on an island by yourself, and I rode a bike everywhere. So I'd just be tooling around Tokyo on my bike, 6'3" white guy with a basket on the front of my bike with like a sub and a couple beers and like just looking for my hotel and it lost. And, you know,
none of the signs make any fucking sense. Like,
so I got caught one time trying to get dinner, and I saw like outside of every like restaurant over there, they have like, they just basically have the picture of the food with a number. So I like kicked my kickstand down. I walked in, I'm sitting down having a Steven Glansberg beer and a burger by myself, and I next thing I know, there's these like military guys that are like killing me, telling me if I'm not getting out of here, whatever. And I little did I know there was an American like base over there, and if they weren't like back at base by 10 p.m. or whatever it was, you're kicked out of the service or the army, whatever. So I'm just like, I'm going to mess with this guy. So I just took it. I'm not leaving. You know, he's like, you know, we got to go. He just assumed 6'3", white guy, Tokyo. Yeah. He's in the military. There's no way he's here for any other reason.
So a baseball player.
I held my ground until I was going to get dragged out. And then finally I was like, I'm just here to play baseball. So just like wild stuff like that. And that's how bored I was. I was doing stuff like that to keep myself occupied. So it was just like, it was a crazy place. Obviously I had a blast, but, and I, you know, like I said, I'd do it again. And I'd tell guys that are in the same situation I was to go do it.
Now, is that like comparable? I don't know if you could even relate it though, of like to like the South Americans, Dominicans that come up and play up here, or
there's just so many more Latin ball players here.
Yeah, okay.
So they kind of gravitate towards each other.
Yeah.
So when you're in a clubhouse, the clubhouse isn't divided, but sort of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Latin guys, hang out with the Latin guys. Yeah. And again, it's when you're at the yard and you're in the clubhouse, it's everyone gets along. Obviously, those guys will go eat together.
Yeah.
The American guys go out. And again, there's when you have a really good clubhouse, everyone gets along. I've been in clubhouses where it's really divided and clubhouses where, you know, everyone gets along. And as you go higher and higher through the ranks, the clubhouse begins to mesh more and more. At the lower levels of the minors, it's extremely segregated. Mm-hmm. Because it's new to everyone. Well,
yeah, they're fresh over here.
Right, and it's and
young, since, they again, don't know where they are. Yeah,
yeah, you got guys coming out of, you know, college, and next thing you know, you're split in the locker room with guys that speak a different language, that are their routine's different, the way they approach life is different, for not in a bad way. It's just
it's a different culture, an adjustment, yeah.
And it's an adjustment for them. And some of my best friends through baseball are Latin guys, and you know, I think one of the greatest things that I learned going through, you know, my entire career is how, you know, people from different parts of this world, you know, I've been very fortunate to see different backgrounds and get to know guys from different backgrounds. Growing up in Milton's, you know, pretty sheltered, right? I grew up in Milton. I went to St. Sebastian's and went to UVM, right? Yeah. And then next thing I know, I'm sharing a locker room, sharing a locker stall with a guy, kid from the Dominican. You know what I mean? That grew up in his floor is, you know, he'd tell me it's just dirt.
Yeah.
About a reality check and have an appreciation for where you came from. So I always took that and tried to remember that. You know what I mean? And, it always motivated me to, hey, things aren't that bad when you're riding a bus 12 hours. Those guys, that was the big leagues to them. Mm-hmm. So every time, and obviously there are plenty of times I catch myself complaining to myself and say, hey, you know, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah. Keep going with it, exactly.
What was your favorite between, like, Vermont, Tennessee, Cape Cod League, Major League, Japan, all, like...
Right.
Like, what's the best...
UVM was the most fun.
It can be off the field.
UVM was the most fun. That was 2 years of... the baseball team was great. The, like, nightlife at school. Current girlfriend, who I'll probably marry someday. She won't listen to this. I met her there.
She's like podcast.
Yeah, she has no idea I'm here.
love it.
That UVM was unbelievable. Again, they cut baseball, but I had so much fun there. Tennessee was like a job. That was Division I baseball at a high level, where it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's just like UVM was school. I went to school. You know what I mean? I didn't go to school. I went there. I didn't go to school, but I was there to play baseball. That was a straight boondoggle. and then Tennessee was baseball. I mean, this is what you're here to do.
Yeah.
And then Japan was the unbelievable experience. And coming up through the minors, it's like I wouldn't trade for anything. It was just the people I got to meet and stuff, and the experience. It was awesome.
Where were you for like the Astros minors? Like what? I don't even know. Off the top of my head.
Yeah, so I got drafted. I went to Troy, New York. That sucks. Next year was Lexington, Kentucky. Year after that was Lancaster, California. Mm. Corpus Christi, Texas.
So you've been every
Oklahoma
fucking
City. Oh, wow, you were Fresno, California.
Wow. They were moving you.
Yeah. Oh, I was a suitcase.
You should have a podcast. Yeah,
suitcase.
Why aren't you starting one?
I should. Oh, with the guys that I've met, the characters I met. But it was...
Get Steck on.
Yeah, like I said, it's just like as you go through all of those seasons and stuff, you get to meet so many good people and you stay in touch with them. And everyone's, you know, some guys are still playing and some guys have, you know, started the next venture of their life. And it's just, it's an amazing experience. And you get to... you get to meet a lot of good people along the way, and you have I have a great appreciation of where I came from, and not to sound corny, but you know, what I was given growing up, because I met a lot of kids along the way that didn't have a lot, and you know, this was kind of their World Series. And I think going through this whole process, knowing, you know, I have an education, and I you know, God forbid this doesn't work out, I have a fallback plan, and I think it gives you great perspective.
Mm-hmm. My kind of last question here is like when, like bring down the day you were like, I'm done with this game?
Oh, man.
Yeah,
was that tough? I don't think I've ever had that day.
No?
Okay. you still think you can get up?
That's why I'm playing softball. That was my lead-off. That's tough, man, because the game, you kind of get pushed out of the game. There's very few people that get to walk away from the game.
Cheater.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, there's so few people that get to call it quits on their own. And I think for me, I had an opportunity to go play in Japan, which was financially the right move at the time, and for what they were offering and for the experience and everything, it was just the right move. Where I was in the organization and kind of being that in between guy, there wasn't much light at the end of the tunnel for me with the Astros. You know, it's not a decision that you make quickly. You know, you put some thought into it, and but when I got back from Japan, and then I still worked out and had an opportunity to latch on with some teams, and stuff didn't work out. So, yeah, man, the game just moves by, and you kind of sit there and you're like, geez, I have a lot more to offer. To be honest, I felt the best I've felt when I came back from Japan. So that's tough, but I understand the reality of it, and a lot of people don't, the business side of it. And man, there's a lot of good young ball players, and they're going to come every single year. I'm very, very fortunate, and no regrets about how I went about it. But it is tough because the business side of things is what runs the game.
You jumped me up there because I had a part two question. So what made your ass get on a softball field? It was like, I'm ready.
Yeah. So my buddies. They recruited me, and I had no idea what I was getting into, man. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, a few beers, hanging out. I thought everyone was going to have a good time, and I got there, and guys are sliding. They're screaming at each other. There's umpires. Guys are going head first. So I quickly figured out, like, man, it turned into me thinking I was going to have a good time to me honestly being nervous.
You're the guy that's about to go deep.
Yeah.
You got a lot of pressure.
I was petrified that I was going to, like, get out, which obviously I did. But it was just, there was so much.
Imagine, I think my bodies were just like,
you have to go deep every time. So when you don't, you're immediately crucified.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd come back to the dugout, and I was like, is this even fun? am I coming back? And so I kind of like, I went back next week and I kind of found the swing, but the ball's coming from the moon. So it's a completely different swing.
Gotta be patient.
That's why I always
completely to this day play it off like I don't really care. But like, I was like,
that's the best way to play it.
I'm nervous, man.
That's the only way.
Yeah. They throw me at short too, which is the worst. And in softball, you got this guy from, where are we? Coops?
Yeah.
We played this team. The guy's like three bills, and he's just ripping the ball to the left side. And obviously, there's no grounds crew. So the field was just like a parking lot. And I olayed a ball, and it just like goes into left, and I'm getting it on the way in from the guys. And I'm like, you know, I go home, I'm showering, I'm kind of talking to myself like I had a bad game. And I'm like, I better strap it on next week. So I figured it out, but like, I didn't know I had to get so locked in pregame, or else I was going to hear it from the boys. So I don't know if I'll be back next year because it was pretty stressful.
A little less stressful of a team.
But no, yeah. Like, I wish I was kidding. It's like I get really nervous because the pressure's so high to produce. There's only one way to go. If I fly out, it's like, all right, good effort.
You play for the Astros? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's like,
come on, man.
You got to hit home runs or at least clutch hits.
They demoted our team to the C division. So you want to come play? No, there's no pressure.
I was looking for like kind of a night out.
We do that. He'll come in the seersucker, blasting music. I'll be good.
He plays porn over there.
Yeah, these guys think it's, you know, the World Series. So.
Did you guys win the championship this year for Darcy's?
No, we lost.
Oh, Jesus, really?
And we got smoked. This team that we played, these guys, that was like a big league club. Every dude up, Rockets.
Do you remember their names?
Like the, the name of the team. I think they were from Braintree because the guys in the dugout were like,
"Oh, oh, okay." There was a team literally called Braintree.
I forget.
It's Nick so Rivers the, Real Estate. I remember.
Yeah, they're really good. Then again, the obviously they practice because I don't know. That swing path won't work in baseball, so they're just launching balls.
Softball? Oh, you see so many kids who are like really good at softball, and it's like you are horrible. When you play baseball.
That's
so yeah, I have no idea where these guys came from. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I would, so I was just, again, it was just, I know we joke about, but it was great to be with those guys. But that team from Braintree is, they could probably beat the Sox this year.
That's crazy.
They are raking.
Unless you guys have anything, I just want to hear your World Series prediction. That's kind of it.
Mm-hmm. Flipped on the TV this afternoon, saw the Reds were playing. Did they end up winning or losing?
They lost.
They lost.
1-0.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer's carving.
Oh, yeah. Looks amazing.
So it's tough. It's best of three, right?
Yeah, and then it goes five, seven. Yeah.
So what's tough is best of three. It's like baseball's tough to predict, man, because anyone can win.
Especially
you got to ride a certain pitcher. Yeah, you just never know. Yeah. How are the Dodgers doing?
Dodgers are.
They play a game
they're
one
tonight. They're on
10. Yeah.
It's Bueller versus Brent Suter.
Right. But it's like, you know, some guy catches one, some guy hits a 3-run bomb, and the other guy deals. You never know. It's tough to pick, but the Yanks are going to have a good shot. The Dodgers, Cleveland's obviously got a deep staff, I think. And
they're winning right now.
Oh, really?
I mean, I know some of the guys on the Stros. I hope they make another run. But we'll see. No predictions.
Matt, your prediction's still a play, right?
Yeah, it's the beginning of the season. White Sox, Reds.
Sox are good. It's a sleepy year. Is this even count, though?
No, that's what I'm pissed about.
Like, this is gross, right?
You can't count it. And I'm pissed about it because I'm not a Red Sox fan. I'm from here, whatever. I'm a Rays fan. And they're going to win it all, and I'm going to be fucking pissed because I don't count it. Jeez. I haven't counted from the set.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I wonder, you know, 10, 15 years from now if we... When we look up back on it, what it will look like.
Oh, now that the like Celtics and Bruins both lost, I'm like kind of glad they did now because like it would just be a big asterisk. Like,
oh yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
Like, I pray to God there's like a actual Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Not that I think the Patriots
can. Football should kind of count, I guess. Yeah. They played 16 games.
Like, football is the most legit. Yeah. It's a real season.
I would say so. Yeah. Like,
everything else is.
I mean, they went from 162 games to 60 games.
Yeah.
They played seven innings half the time.
Yeah.
So like, I know the guys don't, you know, put much stock into it. Either way, those guys. Yeah, it's a tough season, but.
Any gambling tips for us?
Well, players really don't like it.
No, I'm a bad gambler, man. I think you got to go with the pitcher, go with the hot arm. But gambling on baseball must be tough. I don't know. It's such a crapshoot with
he's doing decent
what happens
today,
day in and day out.
Having a good day, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. It's riding a wave. You're riding a roller coaster.
Man, got killed last week, but. I'll wrap it up there, Matt Duffy. Appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And that was awesome.
Yeah,
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
So that was Matt Duffy. I mean, that was impressive stuff. I mean, his stories from Matt Harvey to, you know, almost getting arrested in Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, you name it. I mean, there was some terror in that interview and some shrine, huh?
The American dream. That's
impressive.
That was amazing.
It made me want to go back to high school. And I literally, as he was talking, I was like, I wish I took things more serious. I don't know if I could have. I was never going to be that good, but it was a dream for at least a season or two.
Oh, yeah. And also a big shout out to his baseball facility, Matt Duffy Baseball.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, if you're a youth and you listen to this podcast, or your dad does, or I don't know, some type of friend, like, you should go there tomorrow in Weymouth. This kid will get you better. This kid will get you better, guaranteed.
He still definitely has a love for the game. You can hear that, you know.
Well, plus, he's just a local guy that understands who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
He can make you a better player.
Yeah, absolutely. He was there, too.
And he, like, open invitation to our softball team. Like, I think it's going to happen. I'm
going to pull out all the stops. Like, I will offer him
updates
money.
To come.
Whatever he needs. Anything. He's my number one recruit this offseason, 100%.
Nothing about it. Now that we have Ty Beach locked down, we'll keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, transitioning on from the interview into we'll go the NFL week. So we're 3 weeks in right now. I'll start out with the Patriots, 2-1. You know, impressive win the first week against Miami. Really hard fought game against a tough Seattle team. And, you know, they had a tough first half against the Raiders last week, but they really just came in and pumped the brakes off them, huh?
They did, yeah, absolutely. Second half was amazing. Masterclass.
Yeah.
They look good. They look
absolutely put me to shame.
A lot of people are saying, like, it's just cool that they can be versatile now with Cam, like that. You know, Tom wasn't.
Yeah, I definitely think Tom the Raiders are like more meh than like really good.
Right,
but like
if we're playing a Chiefs team that just dismantled Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's not Tom Brady. It's not number 1200 center.
But it's Bill Belichick, brother, staring Andy Reid in the face.
If we're already going to get into Kansas City this week, which I'm all game for,
yeah, might as well.
You got to think about the last 20 years of Tom Brady. Trying to each team playing against them, they're like, okay, the way we win this game is if we keep 12 off the field. Now it's a catch 22 where you're trying to keep 1-5 Patrick Mahomes off the field, and that's going to be a big thing going this week. And I think that if there's any team that has the nucleus, I mean, also obviously Baltimore is a big running team like that, but you know, I think Cam Newton, all these running backs, James White back this week, they're going to play really conservative and they're going to try to play 3-down offense of, you know, the run game, keeping the clock going and, you know, keeping the football, like I said, out of the hard nose, you know, fast running Kansas City offense.
Read options everywhere for the Pats this week. Read options everywhere.
I think Belichick's going to try to like shut down, you know, Hill and Kels. I think it could be a, you know, big Clyde Edwards-Helaire game. You know, Chase Winovich is going to be absolutely massive in this game. He's become an absolute stud.
Love that, man. Love that, man.
It'll be interesting. I don't have a lot of faith, I'm going to be quite honest. Initial reaction. I hate to be the.
We'll save your bet for Sunday. That's a little tease.
Okay.
Yeah. One side note I loved from Mahomes was going into the Lamar Jackson game was they were like, Lamar Jackson, he's 0-2 against you. Like, he's going to come at your head. What are you going to do? Like, and stuff like that. And like, Mahomes literally said, like, dude, I was 0-2 against Brady. Like, he was like, it sucked.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I'm sure he's going to come at me. And I was like, respect, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But so far, looking so far, I mean, they're one QB sneak away from being 3-0 right now. And they played, I mean, obviously, Derek Carr, check down quarterback, but they just beat the Saints. That's a really good Raiders team. I obviously, in terms of them getting deep in the postseason, like, that's not happening. But I think they're going to win some games and probably make the playoffs.
Did you see the replay where Bill Belichick and his genius – yeah, like Carr, big check down guy. He literally had man coverage and then double teamed the check down. And like Carr was just in shambles and like got sacked for like fucking like 10 yards. It was like I watched it. It was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, this guy owns this team.
Andy Reid also throws the shovel, that shovel pass.
Oh no, Andy Reid and Mahomes is a whole different animal. That's a whole different creature.
It's just going to be exciting. It's going to be, I mean, similar going into the Seattle game where we don't know what's going to happen, but we kind of do. And that's the thing. And against the Seahawks, they went down, what, like 12 points. We're like, all right, this game's over. Like, and you know what? They dug deep and they came all the way back and they were a play away from winning.
What is
the
line for Sunday?
Plus Chiefs, 7.
Plus, I'm taking Patriots all day.
Yeah,
plus 7. You know why? Because I think the Chiefs are going to fucking blow them up.
Plus,
and I'm so not confident in any bet I make.
Wait. So the Patriots are plus 7.
Yeah, I'm taking Patriots plus 7. Oh, we're not going to lose.
I thought you said
we're going to cover.
Okay, so you said Kansas City's not going to blow them out.
Yeah, I think they will, but I'm betting the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
So love the mentality.
You're dying by the sword.
I mean, unless it's baseball, I have no confidence.
You're not flirting with that plus 265 money line?
No.
Maybe. See you on Sunday morning.
No, honestly. I usually have a pretty steady mindset. Unless Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, yeah. But then the lines already change.
Any other big storylines we like in the
Bears,
NFL?
The Big Dick Knicks back in action.
Yep.
The Bears are 3-0 too, so that's
two comebacks and like they're the luckiest 3-0 team of all time.
That's okay.
They're 9-7 alone.
But as long as you get there, I see what you're saying.
I like that Big Dick Knicks in the mix now. I mean, I think
it's a whole
I think
new
they
game
might
now.
Run it for a little. Who are they playing this week? Do you know? off the top of your head?
No. Doesn't matter. I think he...
I mean, Tarik Cohen's out for the season.
Oh, the Bears play the Colts. Pretty winnable game.
Winnable game.
I love the Colts. You know that. I'm a notable Colts fanboy right now.
I told myself I'm going to stop mentioning Philip Rivers' children on this podcast.
Yeah, it's a little weird, man.
That's fine. I'm not talking about Philip Rivers' children.
That'd be a little weird to be good.
Jonathan Taylor. Tua Hilton sucks.
Joe Burrow Minshew this week.
We went with Minshew. We did the whole Minshew picture and everything. We thought it was a. I mean, I've been smoked by Ryan Fitzpatrick before, but nothing was worse than last Thursday. That's for damn sure.
No, I think it's Burrow's first win. I think Burrow gets the first W.
You know what? I don't know. I think Gardner's going to come back with some vengeance. I think
always
Bengals...
possible. Always
Gardner's
possible.
Not that bad.
No, he's. I love him.
I like
a bad team.
I like
though.
How you transition there to the Bengals because I'm going to go into my bonehead of the week. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, Super Bowl champions with, again, to Magic's point, Big Dick Nick a couple years back.
Idiots for letting.
And now they're, what are they, 0-2, and they tied the Bengals because the MVP candidate before he got hurt, Carson Wentz, was throwing picks like you read about.
Oh, yeah.
This defense is horrible. They can't even stop them. What was it? They were on the 50-yard line with 25 seconds left on the fourth down, and they punt. They're like, oh, no, like a tie's good. You know, it's going to be a shitty division anyways. And I think their next game's against, like, the 49ers, the Steelers, and I think they play, like, Kansas City, someone good like that. Oh, so that team's just going to get hosed the entire year, and I'm all for that. After seeing that last week, I mean, that's the second time I've ever lost a bet of a team tying. And, two ties in football, like, that's horrible.
Disgusting.
That's terrible.
Disgusting.
Like, we will be back, but – Philadelphia Eagles along with, I mean, I feel bad talking about the Atlanta Falcons, like, blowing leads because, like, that's just, I mean, just another day.
Yeah.
But, like, get these birds out of here. No bet teams.
No.
When's Wentz riding the bench? Next game?
It's close.
If he loses again,
who's
done, right?
Jalen Hurts.
Oh, then it's real close.
it's real close
if it's Jalen Hurts, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if he loses one more, like, that's a wrap.
I hope so.
It probably should already
I hope
be
so.
A wrap, but
then I hope Jalen Hurts sucks too, because fuck Philly.
Yeah, I'm down for that. I fucking hate Philly.
Oh man,
nice, decent enough city, good place to get wasted in for a weekend, but like
maybe bad people.
Yeah,
they
go
boots,
run the go
they
run the
Santa,
go
dude.
Run the Rocky stairs, and you've done enough there.
Yeah, get out. Yeah,
get out.
We talked about a little bit during the interview, but we didn't really fully give our playoff picks. So I'll let Steele get into his Steele salute from a big game last night from the Yankees.
Yeah. Paid $324 million for a man to show up. And you know what he did last night? He showed fucking up. He threw 13 Ks, second most in the history of the Yankees ever playoff game. Roger Clemens, shout out, with 15. And absolutely sunned Shane Bieber. Shane Bieber was awful.
Hey, Siri, what's the Yankee score?
The Yankees are
trailing.
Oh,
wow, that sucks, huh?
Blew it. She can't even talk.
No,
they're losing 4-1.
This is Garrett Cole.
Then,
like,
I want
to
say,
as a Yankees
Siri,
fan,
what inning is it? It's top like four.
Yeah. As a Yankees fan, though, you can't be happy with that Cole contract. The Astros are cheaters. We established that. We established that in the interview. And now Garrett Cole is not on them, and he is not as good.
They signed that man to win a giant game one. In a giant playoff series, and he took down the person who is about to win the Cy Young, and
you just completely contradicted yourself. Huh. You know why? Game ones are for fucking cowards.
Not in three game series.
Happens.
Not in three game
yeah,
series. Totally
that,
different.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you know I'm right.
Is he right?
You know
yeah,
I'm right.
But is he pulling a scary audible? Definitely.
Because I had a three game series in my life.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, Panzulo's driving. Let's get out of the car.
10 years of Cole? You can't feel good about that contract.
I feel great.
Okay.
Noted. I want that in writing.
I feel great. I never really knew how much of a Yankees fan Steele was, but...
Oh, it's there, brother.
It is pretty passionate.
I mean, just kind of a loser, you know?
Yeah, imagine losing
Yankees
the
fans suck.
So,
not me yet. I don't know what you're talking about.
In the beginning of the year, does everyone like remember their World Series pick? So I'll start with mine. I had Dodgers, Astros, and I'm not going to lie. Like, going into this, I did a little pool and like... Against Minnesota, I'm like, I don't know. But then you see the first game happen, they come back, and it's like, They still have the same lineup. Minnesota's lost 18 straight playoff games. Like, that they're going to like get out of this clearly. They swept today. They're going to the next round. They're going to play two teams that have never been there before, at least with their groups, in terms of the Chicago White Sox and the Oakland A's. So I could see them beating anyone there. And then in the ALCS, like, anything can happen. So I could see them getting back. And then I have the Dodgers on the other side, which I think is just going to be like a undisputed like NL champion.
I mean,
I don't know. Yeah. These playoffs are going to be wild.
You're right.
Somewhat.
You already know my picks. Yeah. I have Cincinnati Reds White Sox pick that was mocked.
Reds down 1-0 today.
Yeah, White Sox are two. So what?
1-1.
We're in there. Okay.
Yeah, big win yesterday. Big win yesterday for the White Sox.
Fucking savage. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Keuchel in his Astro days. I think I truly think the Astros been cheating since Duffy played for them. I didn't want to say it then.
There we are.
Even though Keuchel, I think he was after Duffy. I mean, he was one of my favorite pitchers on that team with that changeup and how he, it's kind of like how Kyle Hendricks is now for the Cubs, just masterful, you know, yeah. A great Maddox type.
Two changeups, what a
but,
dick.
I don't know. I mean, I have my Rays in there too. I have a lot of things going on right now.
Who do the White Sox have Game 3? Any idea? I know it's Giolotto Keuchel, but like, who they got going in the game winner? That's why tonight for the Yankees, if they don't win, Jay Happ's Game 3. I don't like that one bit. Don't like that one bit.
But all right, so now they win it, and now who starts game one of against the Rays?
Mm-hmm. But at least you got five there. Oh, the like you can have a mismatch.
Have to play the Rays next.
Yeah, Yankees Rays.
Oh shit,
that's gonna be not gonna get there yet.
I mean, if
it's gotta get there.
I'm gonna get there because I have no dog in this fight. The winner of the Rays versus Yankees series is gonna go to the World Series
for a championship. We have the starters.
Unless the Rays win, then maybe the Astros win. Contradict myself, but I keep.
I don't know if I picked the Rays, and I can't remember what the teams I picked, but I'm sure the Rays were like a team I possibly picked. And I was saying
you might have picked
you
might have picked the Red Sox.
I did. as a long shot, but my second team might have been the Rays, and I think this is Tampa's year. Just in general, they just won the Stanley Cup.
Because I truly don't care about this year. Like I've said it from the beginning. And
yeah, but if it would be pretty cool if Tampa gets the Cup, the World Series. And then a little Tampa Bay Tom fucking somehow pulls out a Super Bowl. I'd be here for that. I will go celebrate. I might go move to Tampa.
No, the Miami Heat could win the NBA, too.
That ain't Tampa, but fuck it. Yeah, they could. We'll go there, too. That's enough. A four-way. Yeah, that counts. That will count. Florida is officially on the market.
Especially because the Miami Hurricanes are back and going to win the college football national championship.
I think
that, too.
I think the White Sox will throw a game three.
If they don't, the Florida Gators are going to chomp, chomp.
Chomp, chomp.
No, Hurricanes are bust.
Player of the year.
Beat down a Florida State.
Player of the week. No slow deal. Yourself down.
No big deal.
Casual. Speaking of Miami, we'll get into our last topic of the night, unless any other topics come to, you know.
Another decent transition.
All about
there.
The new fuck Florida State. Continue.
So the Celtics fall the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals in six games. You know, it was tough, but you know what? They didn't hit the shots when it came down the clutch. And you know what? The Miami Heat are the team right now. They're looking like the Nationals.
Are they, or did we just blow it so many times?
I hate to say it. It's Lakers in five.
Oh, no, it is. But
the Celtics choked. They gave up. That was embarrassing. That sucked. That fucking sucked. That sucked so fucking bad. Honestly, literally every single player on that team fucking gave up at the end of that game. Like, watch it.
Well, just throw a three. Just chuck it.
It was brutal. It's just like, well, we are young enough to do this fucking next year. We're all under contract. Fuck you. Like, this doesn't care. This doesn't matter. Yeah. Get me out of the fucking bubble.
It's the narrative of the NBA. I said it last week. The sport of basketball is great. The NBA sucks. It's horrible. And, like, what happened at the end of that game proved just everything in the NBA. Oh, yeah, let's take a three and get the whole 10-point deficit back in one shot. That's not going to happen, and that's what they kept striving for. Like I said, I'm probably not going to watch the NBA Finals, Lakers in five. I don't want to see LeBron hoist it.
Miami in seven.
Oh.
Let's go. I'm with him.
Miami in seven.
Fuck it.
Jimmy Butler. I called this season one, episode one. Jay I Bush. Said Jimmy. I said Miami's a place to go. Are they still going to build that Bang Bros Stadium? It was my first Magic Mike minute ever.
It might have got underswept just because it's like COVID. But my thing is, I don't want to see LeBron win. But like the whole Kobe comeback tour, obviously, and Rajon Rondo winning one would be nice to see.
I'm all in on Miami now. I want them to win. I need them to win.
Within like 3 seconds.
I like that more than the fucking Celtics.
Winning Rondo a championship, I am going to post the LeBron's a bitch like shirt besides Rondo. Yep. Like maybe 100 times in a row.
That'd be 100.
As is like
I want to see Kelly Olynyk play like 3 minutes and just get dunked on by LeBron. That'd be great. Anthony Davis, whoever, you know who should do it? Alex Caruso. That'd be unbelievable. Wow. It's Alex Caruso, right?
Yeah. Give me the post-it already.
Oh yeah.
Who's getting kicked off the? Or who are we losing next year for the Celtics? You think like no someone's important. Probably going to go right? Hopefully you think this Gordon whole team's Hayward. Coming back?
He had a tough go around
he
off,
sucks
off injury.
Kemba was hurt. Honestly,
another year Kemba will be good.
Tatum's the only one I care to keep. I am
no, they need a big man.
They're gonna sign him to a max.
Celtics team. Sammy Ojeley can go fucking.
Who is it?
Under like 6 times.
Not to give him any credit or like any, but WEEI's Christian Fourier was like that. His column was we need to get Marcus Smart out of Boston, and I think we should just like get picked forks like. Get some fires going.
Marcus
get in front
going.
Of the I'm radio against, station. Like, I'm very against. Marcus Smart is the heart and soul
he's
of that
good,
team.
But if he goes.
Yeah, no, you don't trade the
Tatum's
heart and soul.
Tatum's the only one I wouldn't move for nothing.
And if Marcus Smart out of all those guys, Jaylen Brown showed a lot of promise this year. Obviously, fine. Gordon Hayward's a former All-Star.
Sucks.
Kemba Walker's great player.
I think he was hurt.
I'm just saying, if you have that many, like, much talent, and we're talking about right now that Marcus Smart is the second most important guy on this team, like, that's quite the statement.
I'm not saying that.
I'm saying that.
Yeah, and I disagree with you.
But why?
Marcus Smart does make a
makes winning
play,
plays, winning
like
plays,
less than 3 minutes,
winning
in the fourth
plays
quarter, every fucking game.
Whether it's a three, you think he has no chance of hitting,
more than a defensive three. I mean, a defensive play.
Oh yeah, I'm saying a three. That 2 years ago when he did like the double charge against James Harden was probably the most. Even though the couple of them were flops, most heroic thing I've ever seen on basketball.
Most court. Electric fouls, like charges taken
like, ever.
ever.
I like Smart. If I could keep him, I would keep him. I'd keep Brown. I would move literally if I was the Celtics, if I was the GM right now, I would say Gordon Hayward for Steven Adams.
Ooh,
do it. Love that. Love that.
Do it.
Who says
love that?
That would be my move. But
you think any of these guys are going to develop? Like, obviously, Tice is like in veteran status by now with his overseas playing.
He's going to start getting paid too,
though. Good player. Like Tice a lot.
But like Robert Williams, like he showed some promise in there. Obviously, Anas Kanter is a stretch. He had some tough times. He stepped in there in game 5, though, and gave him like 8 points. And like, I think that was like a minute and a half.
Locker room loved him, too.
Yeah, big team around.
Look at the other three teams. It's Bam Adebayo, it's Anthony Davis, and it's Nikola Jokic. Like big men that are fucking savages.
Oh yeah,
I just think there's some fat on this team you gotta trim.
Semi, get Semi the fuck out of my fucking
fire
team.
Fire him
Brad
into the sun.
Get Brad Watermaker off my team. Those are my two bugaboos.
What was it? He did like you know how everyone had like the BLM.
Semi sucks. He had the BL the like defender.
People like BLM or whatever the message on the like back. Wanamaker had it like it said enough, so he just said like enough Wanamaker. I'm like. I mean, what else is there? I mean, great pun, right?
Yeah, I can't.
We've had enough.
Yeah,
Semi literally was on this team to defend Giannis. We never got to fucking face him, so he was useless. Like it's just a roster spent.
And I think you also. I mean, I always compare other sports just like in their own situational stuff, and like. Last year with the Bruins, you see, you had the Lightning lose, you had the Capitals lose. They had like a straight like route to the cup, and they unfortunately came up short. This time around, the Celtics didn't have to play Big Bad Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they still came up short.
They might not have it.
I would have rather played
maybe
Giannis,
get rid of Brad.
I think I would have rather played Giannis. Like this Heat team has balls. Like us, that's what we're built off of. It. They're just better. I don't know what it is. I mean,
it wouldn't have mattered though because it's a bubble. Fuck it.
That's what I mean. Now that they all lost, I think
Miami's taking it home. They're just going to do it. Miami's going to do it. This might be the best chance Miami ever has of winning the title, and they're gonna. I think they're gonna.
LeBron's winning this.
Miami. If Miami wins, I'll buy you like at least two free like Big Magners at the pub.
I'll take that.
Yeah,
all day.
I was gonna be like something bigger, but I'm like, that's like.
All I was right, like, is he gonna buy me a steak dinner at Del Frisco's? What's coming?
Well, then Matt Duffy would have to come. Yeah.
Matt Duffy can. I'll drink any day of the week with him.
He just texted me. He wants to drink beers with us. So
like right now?
I wish. He's probably at Coops right now saying how much fun he had. Yeah, yeah.
Matt Duffy, guest of the year. Easy. Yeah. I don't want to. Well, we might need to. We got to start promoting Lights Out Lang's comeback coming up in three
weeks.
Is
it coming? He's fighting again?
Yeah, 10/23, Charlestown, West Virginia. I'll promo him now. Lights Out Lang's fighting Wayne Woodruff. Wayne Woodruff is 5-0 at the moment. I think he's the most winning rough and rowdy boxer
of all
time.
This
is a big one. They're putting lights out.
Lights Out Lang in one.
Yeah, Lights Out Lang. I think Lights Out Lang actually knocks this guy the fuck out.
Yeah, I mean, he just fought the fucking.
Well, our like,
if you haven't seen Lights Out's new promo, by the way, go on Rough and Rowdy Facebook or wherever they're else they're posting it. It's a must watch.
He's the only reoccurring guest, right?
At the moment, I believe.
So, like, he could be, if he only agrees to come on if he wins, like he should, he'll be a three time. If it happens, it'll be three times.
I mean, Matt Duffy's coming back on.
Oh, yeah, but like, it will just become a lead. It'll be like Duff, yeah, Lang. We gotta start like after Rough and Rowdy, we just gotta start like getting him fights at like the Armory or something. Be like, if you win, you gotta come back. Yeah.
I think if Lang wins and wins well, I mean, Rough and Rowdy's coming back now. He straight up said
He's gonna fight until he loses. Mm-hmm. And
I'll
be surprised when I see him lose. I really will be.
It will be an absolute savage who takes him down.
He's fighting savages.
Maybe a little promo to the thrill ride there. How about the thrill ride versus Lang?
Ooh. Who's the
one man?
No,
I think Lang would fuck him.
No, that's Lang in one, but that's a hell shit
Lang
talk.
Lang in one is a good shirt.
Yeah. Lang in one, wow.
We might have to make those.
That's all I had. Anyone else have any topics?
No.
Keep an eye out for that. Yeah,
that interview was easily my favorite interview I've ever had.
Oh, you lost your heart on for Greg Bedard?
Yeah, baseball's my heart.
Folks, really want to thank you for tuning in. We've been mentioning Matt Duffy all night. I want to give a great appreciation for him coming on the pod. Get your kids to the Matt Duffy Baseball Academy in Weymouth. Probably some great stuff there, a lot of insight. Our new Steel and Naz t-shirts are in, and they're in as ever. We got a lot of them. So if you guys wanted to give us a big shout-out, whether it's in a DM, an inbox, you know the boys, hit one of us up. That's all from Steel and Naz Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. Be safe out there, guys, and go Pats. I'm awesome.